My own experience that IT people bizarrely can be frightened of change.
You see, like when the software has its go live, then people think, okay, the project is finished and also the change is finished. But it's not, because you have to follow up, you have to train the people again, you have to give them the possibility to ask questions, higher level trainings to get even more use of the software and the licensing you're paying.
It's one of those things where it'll speed life up for a lot of people.
Some postings in the AI direction, and I did a lot of postings about cloud and all of that, but on artificial intelligence, it's directly, you post something that could be cool and people are reacting super emotional.
Change management is a critical aspect, often overlooked in the IT industry. Technology advancements like new software and artificial intelligence promise efficiency, but often resistance to change can make it really challenging. In this episode, we delve into the often misunderstood challenge of change management. Drawing from our personal experiences, we discuss the necessity of ongoing support, training, and of course, communication. Is your workforce suffering from change tiredness? All will be revealed.
So yeah, Tony, you know I have a little bit of a hard topic myself in the IT industry, and that's change management, because sometimes I feel like we are so focused on providing great technicians and doing the best we technically can and being great at the bits and bytes level that we leave the people behind. And that's why I would like to talk about this today a little bit. Let me give you two facts that I think are very, very interesting. The one is about the willingness to change. In a survey in 2016, Porsche Consulting first asked people how willing they are to change. And it was 74% of people who said, okay, I'm willing to change in my working environment. And in 2023, it was in April, it was just 38% who said they are willing to change, because people are change tired. That's what they call it, because we are changing in such a rapid rate that it's really giving people a problem. And with high change tiredness, 74% of people thinking about leaving their company, compared to 43% when people are not that change tired. And I think that are numbers that you can't ignore. That's why I try to talk about it. And I feel like in an IT environment, it's also very, very important. Like, for example, M365 was a big topic the last year. Especially during the pandemic. And for a lot of people, it was not that easy. And I feel like, especially in the IT environment, people think like, oh, that's easy. Nobody need to be prepared for that. Here's Teams. It's cool. And let's go. That's the vibe I at least sometimes get. So what's your opinion?
Did you get much training? Did you get much training on Teams when it first came in?
I'm not sure I did. I've got to say, I certainly my impression of, I've always thought it's a little bit odd from an IT perspective, because from an IT point of view, really that's IT is change. We change all the time because everything evolves all the time. So I know from my own experience that IT people bizarrely can be frightened of change, which I found fascinating, because I thought, the whole idea of IT is we change all the time. That's the whole premise. But I don't think it's abnormal that most people who work in a business want there to be some sort of structure that they can hold on to and they can then run with. And Office 365 is a good example, because when it was first adopted, when we first adopted email, even email was not prevalent at the point that I started work. I'm that old. Yes, you can play funny music at this point if you want to. But, you know, literally memos were pieces of paper. But we've evolved that so much over 20 or 30 years. It's amazing. But Office 365, it was a really big jump, because we stopped being in a situation whereby everything was inside the business. Now everything is essentially outside the business. So even the IT team isn't really responsible for your file sharing, for your email, for your communication structures. So yeah, it's a massive shift for most businesses.
So yeah, and I have to correct myself. I definitely had a training, but I think I just skipped it and was like, I wanted to try everything out as soon as I got the possibility to test Teams. So maybe that's why it was not that relevant in my head, basically. But yeah, what I, for example, see a lot, I mean, we had this in client situation as well, that the change was maybe not done really great. And people think the tool is not good because they don't have done everything important around. So for example, it's like, yeah, Teams is just not working for file sharing and all of that. I can't find anything. And you're like, yeah, because nobody talked to you about where do you want to put your files. Is it your shared folder that you're using for the last 10 years? Is this your SharePoint? Is it your intranet? Is it Teams? Or is it hopefully not your desktop? And everybody was using it different and having a different file structure and different ways of putting their files down. And then at the end, it comes down to a tool being not accepted, although it has nothing to do with the tool at all.
Exactly. One of my personal favorites for that is SharePoint, which is, I suppose, very similar to OneDrive and Teams because they use the same sort of back end. But if you look at five different people looking at SharePoint, all five will use it in a completely different way. Some people browse through the individual elements by clicking on the icons. Other people will go to menus at the top of the screen and choose drop downs. Other people will use filters to find their files. Some people use searches. So it's the challenge these days with modern software, whereby there is no defined way of doing it because different people have their own preferences. So yeah, you really do need some sort of defined best practice within your business, maybe, to help you do that sort of thing.
Yeah, and also you need somebody that goes forward and shows people that it's needed, that they need to use it. Because that's another story I heard when I was at a presentation in one of our conferences, where somebody who trained leaders was like, the leader told him, he's like, I'm not using Teams. It's called Teams. I'm not part of the team. I'm the leader, so I'm not going to do that. And you're sitting there from a change management perspective. Yeah, that's sure going to work if you say you are not doing it. And then you are wondering why your people are not going to do it. So I think that's also a very important point, to show your people that you are using it as well, and also have an exit strategy for the old tool. Because if the old tool is just working for years on end, on parallel, then there will be people who are not switching. You have to train them, and you have to find ways to switch over, and also make clear, yeah, we have maybe a grace period where we say, okay, this time, this 3 months, you can use both. For some tools, it's possible. For some, it's not. But there definitely needs to be an access point, because otherwise, 3 years later, you're tuning in and they're still using Skype for Business or something like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. The amount of businesses I go to whereby they're still using software that they've been using for the last 20 years because of the fact that they never get out of it. They've never been able to replace it with something that does the job as well as their current system does. So they've never changed it. And that also leaves massive security holes in the way that the processes work, because the software that they're using, that they're still using, is so far out of date, it's not being patched anymore. Working your way out of specific pieces of software is vital.
Yeah, and I mean, even if the new tool is better, what you need to understand, but what I feel some people need to understand, is if somebody worked in that tool for 10 years, there's a lot of knowledge in there, and people learned a lot over time, and they're giving a little bit of what they've done up when this software is going away. And that's an emotional process. That's just how it is. I mean, it's always like, yeah, leave your emotion at the door when you're at work, but that's not how it works, obviously. So yeah, I think that's also like, I mean, I'm over exaggerating a little bit, but it feels like a little bit of my identity. I'm the ERP specialist for this and that tool, and everybody knows me for that. I'm the go-to guy because I'm just so exceptional at it. And then if you're giving it up and you have to learn something new, you start not starting at zero, but at that moment, it feels like you're starting at zero, and all what you achieved beforehand is gone.
Absolutely. I think businesses don't tend to think of that very much. They don't tend to think of the impact it has on the individual. Individuals themselves always, they have their preferences. They have their emotional way of doing things, and they don't like that to be changed. So again, from a change perspective, we think that, oh yeah, we'll change this to this software because it's better, but we don't really ever think, oh yeah, the people won't come with us. But actually, a lot of the time, that isn't the case. People don't come with us. They stay where they are because that's the way they've always done it. But it is challenging to deal with.
Yeah, and it can have other reasons as well. For example, you're maybe not prepared for the next step, or you think you're not able to do it. Like, for example, if we come into a company as a managed service provider and somebody did the IT administrations for a long time and they should now switch and maybe do more of digitalization projects and something like that, they maybe think they can't do it. And the boss thinks, okay, cool, he can do something new. He must be so excited. And this person is maybe sitting there now like, I don't know if I can do it. And internally panicking, or even worse, thinking they might lose their job because a managed service provider comes in. So, I mean, when we are at that level, when it really comes to fear, then it's even more important to catch up with the people and be there and jump in and understand what that can mean.
I think to a certain extent, this is something we can handle, though, as long as we take the people with us when we're doing the updates, when we're making the changes, when we're discussing why we're making the changes. If you communicate well with your team and your employees, then this is something that you can work your way through. Everybody knows it's coming. People can prepare it, even in their own heads a little bit, if they know it's coming. So you've got to pre-plan it. You can't just drop it in there and say, there you go. There's your new software. There's your new system. There's your new process. Because people don't adopt as easily in that situation.
Yeah, definitely. You have to not just throw it in there and be like, okay, that's done now. But especially if there something like the fear of losing their job comes in there, then you, from the beginning, you have to jump in there and talk to people one-on-one, or maybe even bring someone external in to do this kind of interviews and really get to know which are the fears that people have.
Yeah, I suppose it's part of the due diligence, isn't it, of making these sort of changes. Do you think that these days, is AI one of those sort of things whereby people are concerned that it's going to remove or minimize or damage their job because of the fact that it does elements that maybe software didn't do previously?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, if I'm quite active on social media, especially on LinkedIn, and I do some postings in the AI direction, and I did a lot of postings about cloud and all of that, and I never got an emotional comment on a cloud posting. So it was never like, oh, like, it's so dangerous whatsoever, but on artificial intelligence, it's directly you post something that could be cool, and I always make sure that I write something about these risks in there, like deepfakes and stuff. Obviously, we need to take into consideration. It's not like I'm just celebrating AI and it's perfectly fine, but people are reacting super emotional, like being like, oh, that's not a technology. How can you talk about that? That's taking away jobs. That's taking away our identity. Social media is soon just AIs talking to each other. And it's completely sometimes blown out of proportion as you feel like you read it. And for me, that shows how emotional this whole topic is, because it's not a rational, critical comment that I would normally read, where it's like, yeah, please think about this and that, but it feels like really anxious when people write about it.
I agree. I think that it's become quite an emotive subject, hasn't it? I think it's one of those things where it'll speed life up for a lot of people. So a lot of businesses and a lot of roles, it will be easier because of it, but I don't actually see it replacing human beings. I don't see how it can, to be honest. So I think it's, but you say change scares people. So therefore you will get more emotional responses to it than maybe, like you say, the invention of cloud computing. But it's quite interesting, really. But I don't know from a change perspective when we will be able to see whether that actually has had that impact or not. These things happen so slowly. It's very difficult to tell whether there is any ongoing impact.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, there are some points that I just think are very, very important to make sure you look at when you're doing a software project. Of course, the technical stuff and how you configure it and make it secure and all of that is super important. But
we'll get Christian to do that. It'll be fine. We'll just get Christian to do it. It's okay.
Vivek, that sounds like an amazing plan. but yeah, I sometimes feel like the whole potential of the software or something like that is not used because people are not trained enough to do everything and get all the reports out of it and use all the functions. They maybe stay with the basic functions because they don't know any better, or like the support structures are not communicated well. So who do I call when I don't know how to go about it? Is it always the IT department, or is it maybe an HR software? And for some questions, I contact HR, and for some questions, I contact IT. I think these are also things to take in consideration, to be like, okay, if somebody has a problem, we have one place where there may be the frequently asked question, and then there are people listed that can, or departments listed that can help you with that, to just make sure. Because even if the IT guy gets 10 calls a day where he's just like, no, please call HR, that's still an overhead that you're creating and that you could maybe minimize with planning beforehand.
Absolutely. No, again, but I, and again, training at the right level is important, because like you say, that different people will use different pieces of software at different levels. Excel is a perfect example. There are people who need to know how to open an Excel spreadsheet. There are other people who need to know how to do index match statements along with macros, with VLOOKUPs and all this sort of business. So having training at the level that you need is really important, because most of the time the software actually can do a shedload more than most people know. But if they're not given the opportunity to learn what it can do, they can't then use it as a way of making their lives better. That's what software should be doing, isn't it? It should be making your working life better. And unless people are trained on its use, how can they confirm whether that's the case or not?
Yeah. And often you see, like, when the software has its go live, then people think, okay, the project is finished and also the change is finished. But it's not, like, in my opinion, because you have to follow up, you have to train the people again, you have to give them the possibility to ask questions. You maybe do higher level trainings to get even more use of the software and the licensing you're paying. And also what I always find great is success stories, like showing, okay, a department uses Teams now to completely work together on documents, for example.
Mm.
And it doesn't have the version 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and final and really final now, but it just has one version they're working together in. And then maybe sharing that in the company also with the time that's maybe saved. Like, all of this can be additional change stuff that you're going to do and putting impulses out there what you could use the software for.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose this is, to a certain extent, from an industry perspective, we use LinkedIn for that sort of stuff, don't we? Whereby we actually, you post stuff on LinkedIn to just sort of say, look what we did. It was quite interesting. Internally, there are other tools like Yammer and various other things of that nature to be able to transmit information between individuals. The challenge I've always found, though, is getting people to spend time looking at them. LinkedIn is one of those things where if you have the time, you go and look, but you almost want something that goes to people at all times and that they pay attention to. And that I've found is a big challenge. So communication within a business in general is very difficult.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it always depends on how big the success story is or something. You can you can take it with you in a team meeting and just tell it there in a 2-minute story or something like that. There are different possibilities, or like our monthly roundup or something where you could spread these informations out. I mean, I don't want to make it bigger than it needs to be. So it doesn't need to be a 45-minute slot or something, but just put it out there and get a little bit of positive feeling out there, and also to celebrate the people that did it. I mean, most of the time the people didn't have it easy at the beginning, but they wanted to make it right and they tried so long that it at the end worked, and to celebrate them a little bit and say, hey, they did great work, they are now saving time and their work is a little bit easier, I think is a cool thing for all the other employees and also for the employees who put in the time.
I think that's a great idea. I think getting people in meetings to be able to actually just sort of spend 10 minutes just explaining what you did, why you did it, what benefit it was, is the perfect way of getting that information across, because the audience is captive. They have to be there. But also it means that you can get that information across in a really succinct manner. And if then someone comes along and says, right, we're going to change to do this now, then their immediate thought is positive rather than negative. Because as you say, it's, you know, change is difficult if we're not providing the right information.
So yeah, one question that just comes to mind for me in the planning beforehand, how would you go about including employees in getting a software to work? So is there something you would plan ahead and would just tell them, okay, that's how we do it? Or would you rather prefer to get them on board and maybe talk to them about it?
I think it depends on the software, obviously. But I think certainly from my point of view, the only reason you would change software generally is either from a security perspective, just to get you up to date. But also it's to try and improve the way that your business works. So I think in that situation, normally you would set up like a working group to try and make sure that the software you're choosing is the right software. And that working group will be made up of people who are going to receive the software as well. So you're getting real world knowledge on how it works. So I have been in instances before now whereby our software has been updated within businesses and the employees are like, no, we don't want to, because what you're providing us with is far worse than what we have. So you have to start off knowing that what you're going to deliver is going to be well received. And the only way to do that is to get the people involved as early as possible. So I'd be there right at the start, grabbing as many people as I can to try and help make what we're delivering right for them. And if it is right for them, then that working group will then run through to make sure that through each step of the process, they're being informed that everything's moving ahead, the timescales in which it's going to be adopted, trying to anticipate challenges with the way that they do their daily, weekly, monthly tasks. You know, there's nothing worse than sort of coming to the end of the solution and then realizing it won't produce half the reports that they previously had. Yeah. This, that, and the other. So I think you've got to just plan these things properly with the team. Same with software as simple as Office. I remember very early on when Office was originally the product to use. There was a point where they changed it to have the ribbon rather than the icons, and that caused all sorts of problems because everybody's been using Word, Excel, PowerPoint for years and knowing exactly where the buttons they need to press are. All of a sudden, they're not there anymore, and just jumping into that new version really caused issues for the business I was working with at the time.
Yeah, no, that's definitely the point I wanted to get to, because sometimes I feel like a software is introduced and some departments are not even asked about it, and then they are expected to work with it. And obviously that even if it's the perfect software you chose, even then they will be like, you didn't ask us. So I'm making sure I find something that isn't working. Because that's their daily doing, and obviously they want to be asked in their daily doing. It doesn't have to be like 25 meetings, but just to make sure, what do you guys need out of that software? And it doesn't need to be the whole department that's in that conversation, but at least some people, a team lead or whoever needs to be in that conversation to make sure the acceptance on that side is there.
Yeah, it's disrespectful, isn't it, really, to try and change something where somebody else is doing it as their job, to just jump in and change it without their buy-in, I suppose, to a certain extent, or at least of acceptance of the change. Sometimes you have to change. There's no choice, especially older software when it comes to being insecure. You have to update. There's no choice. But you've got to bring them with you on that journey. Otherwise, like you say, then heels get dug in and nothing moves forward.
Yeah, exactly, because it feels like it gives the signal across like we know what you're doing. We could estimate if it's good for you or not, and that's no feeling anybody wants to feel.
So do you have like any tips then on things that businesses should be doing with regard to this? So that one, obviously, make sure you bring the department with you. Any additional ones?
For me, like explaining to people the change psychologic behind it. So just explaining people when there's something about to come, like that it's normal, that your performance is going a little bit down in the change, that there's nothing to worry about. It's going back up again, especially also for the team leads to understand that this can happen. and that this is going to happen? And what can, why are people afraid of change? Sometimes just the reasoning, like feeling maybe not good enough for the next task that's going to come up, stuff like that. So again, it doesn't need to be a 3-hour psychological lesson, but I'm dedicating 15 minutes to it, because I feel like since I know that, I sometimes pick things up on myself and I'm like, that's this change phase now, or I can feel now I have a better understanding of myself, why I may be reacting the way I'm reacting. And then take your leaders with you. If the leaders are not showing how it's going and are not doing a great job at leading the change, you will not get the employees behind that. And I think that's super important, because they have to be people that show how it's going and they have to represent the change. And then putting out the aim for employees, like, why are you changing? And it's, I mean, saving money for the company, it's a nice motivation, of course. But if you have the possibility to get some benefits for the employee out of there, and like you can save like 5 minutes on that task every day or something like that, it's always nice to bring that in. As I said beforehand, the support structures, to make sure that there are support structures in place and make sure that people know who to call if they need to call.
I think it's all communication, isn't it, really? This is all about communication. One of the other things that sort of I'm popping around in my head at the moment is, it's like if you were to adopt a new CRM system, and what that really meant for your account team was the fact that then when they're putting sales on and prospecting information on, it makes life more complicated for them because they haven't done it before on this system. So it's taking them more time and making them slightly less efficient. But this is, again, this is where talking to the management is really important, because they then have to know that the salespeople are maybe not going to be as efficient, but they also then have to be seen to do it themselves as well, even though it may be less efficient for them. Otherwise the sales team won't follow because of the fact that the account manager, because the management won't follow. So again, it's all about communication, but also it's often about understanding what the business needs, because we're not necessarily helping the salesperson by changing the CRM system, but you probably are helping the business, because it allows them to manage time recording better, to understand profits better, to understand the margin maybe that they're taking from their customers, to understand the quantity of prospects that they're seeing. All of this information that you put into a CRM system is maybe something they weren't getting with their old system. So from a business point of view, the business is thinking, we have to go down this route. But the account management team may be like, well, it's not actually helping me. Why would I do this? And that's why it's really important that they understand the benefits it's going to bring for the business as a whole. And it's not necessarily just about them.
Yeah,
of
course.
Really important.
The first priority is definitely to communicate the why. Like, why is that change necessary? Because sometimes otherwise a feeling gets up of they're just wanting to annoy us. I mean, logically, we know that's not the case. We know
they're
that nobody's...
Bored.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. On the logic level, we know that it's not the case. But sometimes, as a human, we are not always logical. And then we're thinking, I don't see reason behind it. So the only reason is they up there just wanted to have a little fun. And now we are the ones that having the problem with it. So communicating the why on the business level, definitely. And if you have the chance to communicate it on a department level and say, hey, you have this benefits, then it's even better.
Yeah, absolutely. So so on the whole, that I think change is really important to any business. And I think we're all doing it at all times, especially from an IT perspective. But if you're summing this up, what would you give it as advice to individual businesses in a few words?
So yeah, if I could sum it up, it would be communication, 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 as we talked a lot about in this podcast today. And don't forget that your employees have emotions, that they are identifying over what they are doing, and they maybe feel like they're losing a little bit of their worth because something is going a way that they're really, really good at. And yeah, just take that into consideration and don't expect it going perfectly great all the way. There will be dips in performance, there will be dips in the mood, but you just have to push through, motivate your people, be a great leader, and I think then the change will go well too.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And I think we would work better if we all planned our changes a little bit better, because I think it is one of those things. We plan projects generally reasonably well, we plan the customer delivery reasonably well, but I don't think we necessarily think about our internal changes in the same way. So I think it's some good advice.